Good morning. Welcome to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio, Inc., a League of Nations, among other Internet radio talk stations, Voices of the People, United We Roar. Today is May 18, 2007. PIVTR is the Internet home for anyone seeking quality information and entertainment, as well as answers to many of the multiple concerns that the average person wants to know. At PIVTR, we not only provide experts passionate about their work, we offer you viable content and solutions. PIVTR is also dedicated to helping published mid-list and beginning writers, unknown authors, small businesses, and entrepreneurs to further market themselves, their services, books, and products to the media. And now this morning, at a special time from 11 to 11:35 a.m., I'm presenting to you Dr. Barbara Becker, hosting in Happiness for Women Only. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning, Lillian. I'm delighted to be back. Welcome to Happiness for Women Only, and that includes our girls. Today, we're starting the first of a four-part series that is all around the Happiness for Women Only concept taken over the life cycle. And today, being the first program in the life cycle, we are discussing the Enchanted Girl. Let's talk about the Enchanted Girl from ages 10 to 19 in reference to the seven gateways to enchantment. Or I should say, the seven gateways to happiness. We have today as a special guest my expert in resiliency, because without resiliency, we have very little equipment to fight off the dark terrors, the different problems that we can have in life. And my expert is, as most of you know at this point, Dr. Sandra Prince Embury. She is.
Hello, Barbara.
Oh, hi, Sandy. Good. I'm glad you stepped in right away. That makes it more and more real. She's the director of the Resiliency Center of Allenhurst and author of the Resiliency Scales for Children and Adolescents, published by Harcourt Assessments. Now, we want to really dive into this very quickly and try to cover the seven gateways for girls. In Girls and Happiness in one 30-minute period. And, of course, we can come back again. That's the luxury of having one's radio show. But we do want to at least get all of you oriented. And I know a lot of you emailed me for your my paper, which you can still do at any time on Enchanted. Let me give you the correct website, www.enchantedself.com. You can get the paper all around the seven gateways. Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit about the first three gateways, and then Sandy will go into a dialogue together. I'm going to just briefly go over them in reference. Keep in mind, as I talk, I'll be focusing mostly on the 10-year-old girl. Why? Because my new book, The Truth, I'm 10, I'm smart, and I know everything. The girl is 10. I think that's clear from the title. So since we only have 30 minutes, I have to make some selection. Bear that in mind, and we'll come back to teens and little kids another time. Now, the first three gateways. The first gateway is around building self-esteem and appreciating your own talents, strengths, and potential. So this would mean the same thing for a girl of 10, that she would have some sense of well-being, that she feels good about herself, that she feels she has integrity and purpose. It could be as simple as going to class in the fourth or fifth grade, but she knows what she's doing, she feels good about it, she has some friends, she has a family that supports her, she knows her interests are art and music, and they're not basketball and hockey, whatever. She's clear. She may also have some dreams. She feels she has potential to become a writer or a skier or an Olympic champion in something, or she wants to be a CEO of a company. There's a dream. There's a hope. There's some aspirations. combine this with gateway number two in terms of happiness. In this gateway, you have a sense of one of yourself that's even a little deeper. It has almost a storyline to it. So, for example, for a girl of 10, it might be in a positive sense that she's been told many, many times that she's very similar to Aunt Belinda. And Aunt Belinda is a wonderful woman with lots of talents, actually in art and music, just like hers. And she's always nice to people, and she's always considerate. And our dear daughter seems to be growing in the same direction. And so for that little girl, she now has a storyline that's beginning around her life. She may change it. She may alter it. She may drop Aunt Belinda and decide she's more like Uncle Sylvester for X reasons when she's 11 or 12. But the point is she's being given messages that it's positive and it's good to see your life within a framework, and a framework that may be generational, where you are improving the chain, or at least certainly carrying it forward very beautifully. Now let's look at how this would merge with gateway number three, which is getting your needs met and and learning to do whatever you have to do. Well, again, for this 10-year-old, in the best of all circumstances, she gets help when she needs it in school by a teacher who understands her, by her parents who help her with homework when it's appropriate, by other people in the family that don't make fun of her when she's trying to learn something, that she has an atmosphere that helps her. And let's say she wants to take piano lessons. Don't forget she loves art and music. And her parents find a way to get that secondhand piano into the house. And they find a way, even with financial difficulty perhaps, that she takes group piano lessons in town or something so that her needs are being met at least minimally. Maybe not in a maximum way, but at least minimally. So this little girl is now, I've told you about her in terms of the three gateways. And let me just quickly say that if she didn't have this positive background, she might, for example, in the first gateway being told things like you're stupid, wow, you don't have any talent. You didn't inherit anything that so-and-so had in the family. And in terms of herself, her narrative, the story of her life, she would not be placed in a positive way to develop a narrative. She might be told, you'll never make it. You're just not going to make it. You know, you're not pretty. You're not this. We can't help you. And, of course, things could be even worse than that in terms of negative language. And in the third gateway, meet your needs, how to do things. Play the piano. That's for sissies. That's stupid. Now, I want you on that soccer team like your brother. Okay, I'll stop here and let Sandy merge in. We're going to merge this. Go ahead.
Okay, Barbara. What you're saying is so important, and I think that it's important to state, and I think the fact that you have the three gateways is really helpful in helping people look at different aspects of it. And as you mentioned before, my area is resiliency, which has some of the same way and some little twists of difference, but I think we're all saying the same thing. And I think the summary term that might be used is self-esteem, that research has shown it's very important that a little girl have a positive self-esteem. And I guess the question is, how does she get that? And that's one of the things that you're offering, different gateways to developing a positive self-esteem. I'd like to provide a little other ways of looking at it. And I guess I would take your second gateway, and that is falling in love with yourself or truly appreciating yourself. And I guess I would say that the construct that I've been looking at that relates to that is sense of relatedness, and that when a girl is young, Well, basically children in general, the relationship with the parents is so important, and that's a foundation for developing a positive self-esteem. And within the things that I'm looking at, part of the basis of that is developing a sense of trust. Other people are trustworthy, parents are trustworthy, they keep their word. Sense of support. I can rely on my parents. If I have a problem, I can go and talk to them. Comfort with others. It's okay, I can be with other people, I don't make them nervous, they don't make me nervous. It's okay if I hang out with other people, I don't have to perform in a special way. And finally, sense of tolerance, that it's okay to think differently sometimes, that you can have a best friend and not necessarily always agree with that person. So these are some of the foundations that lead to a girl having a good, solid sense of relatedness. And that in turn allows her to, the more she feels that she has access to others and that others are there for her and care about her, the more likely she can care about herself. So that would be one of the things I would say. The other aspect of positive self-esteem I would look at as a sense of mastery. And I think the examples you gave are wonderful in terms of different ways that a girl can discover that she's good at things. And it doesn't even matter what it is. She just needs permission and encouragement to see herself as doing something well. And I think you've already provided some wonderful examples
Yes.
of how parents can do that.
Well, I think you're right, and it's so easy for parents if they can set aside themselves, put yourself on the, you know, on the back burner for a minute, and whatever your child is falling in love with as a talent or a passion, an interest, unless it's inappropriate by the standards of your culture in some very clear way, and I realize that can be, otherwise, let her flourish. Let her play with it. You know, if she wants to do archery, she's probably not going to go into the field of archery as a grown-up. You know, you really don't have to worry. There's probably, 100 people in the world that are archery specialists, and we don't even know what that is. But I guess they teach a team of archery. Or, you know, so you really don't have to worry. It's a way of getting one's bearings and feeling on top of your game and feeling special.
Now, you know, Barbara, you're bringing up a very important point, and it has to do with how important it is that parents can love their child but separately acknowledge that the child is separate from them and may have differences in preference and may not always want to be exactly what the parent wants them to be. And that ability to love and appreciate one's child, even when they differ somewhat from you, is such an important thing for parents to have.
Oh, it's just a golden gift, and the child will appreciate you the rest of her life for having it. And it ties so much into what you were saying, Sandy, about caring about yourself, because that is an exquisite talent we need to develop in childhood.
Exactly.
We can work on it later, but we need a foundation, and that's Gateway 4, so I'm going to go right into it. Gateway 4, which I often teach women, is your premier gateway. It's where you get your crown, your queen for the day status. It's the same for a child. A girl of 10 needs to be a princess in her own way with her little tiara or whatever, that she is able to understand the nature of replenishment, the nature and permission around happiness and pleasure, and that you encourage it in the right ways. For example, if your child, you're dragging your child everywhere, scheduling Monday to Friday, you know, baton lessons, piccolo lessons, study, religious study, dance, acrobatics, all sorts of things. And this little girl, you see, tired, and maybe she in passing says, I wanted to be a brownie, and you're saying, well, we can't fit it in, maybe next year. You're not listening, because this girl is crying out that her needs for replenishment and happiness and to thrive are being ignored. Just because she's learning all these lessons and stuff doesn't mean that at the ego core level her needs are being met, in her sense that she has permission to enjoy life every day and not feel exhausted. So finding a way to help give your girl permission that she really can take care of herself and you will support it even when she's 10 is probably the most critical thing I think we could quickly teach you today.
That's very important, Barbara, and it leads me back to the ability, capacity of parents to recognize their child as a separate person with needs and wants of her own. And I agree with you, today, especially in our society, there's so much pressure on kids to perform academically, to pass the standardized tests, to get into good schools, and this happens even at the preschool level. So kids get to a point, even before they enter school, where they're already being subjected to other people's expectations about what they should be striving for. And I think that in the process, the person, the young girl, can lose herself and forget the pleasure of natural play, fun, what she really enjoys, and how to replenish
right.
herself.
And what happens is, as women, then we end up tired, cranky, not providing enough pleasure to ourselves, thinking we're doing the right things by dragging the kids everywhere every day of the week. And we become almost victims of what we thought was good.
Right. And I think it's sort of what jumps to my mind is the expression throwing the baby out with the bathwater. That parents are so concerned about giving their children the best and structures that will provide them with security in the future, that they allow the natural child and that ability for replenishment to wither away,
right.
and they're not aware of it as it's happening.
They're not, and then they also incorporate it and internalize it into themselves as a way of being, so both generations are suffering. Now, you
right.
can get out of the loop. And you don't have to go 100%. You can sit down your daughter and say, look, it's very important to us. We know you're bright. We had you tested. You know, you need to go to college. We want that. We want you to have certain goals. And we want you to take certain lessons. We feel it's important to play the violin, to do this, to do that. However, we also think it's important for you to be happy every day and to feel that you're getting enough rest and so on. So let's work on your schedule.
That sounds good. That
yeah.
sounds good. That's very so good. And I think the important thing about your Gateway 4 is that you're announcing that as a critical skill, so to speak. Although it's natural, the fact that it can be squelched, you're going back and saying this is a natural ability that needs to be encouraged or it won't stay around.
Right. And I can't provide the world to you, the parent may be saying, but I understand because of my own needs, and I'm going to really try to meet you halfway. And it may turn
mm-hmm.
out that the girl, say, goes for lessons 2 or 3 days a week and two or three days gets to lounge on the front porch or catch butterflies or whatever she's doing, you know, wander the trails near her house, have girlfriends over and they laugh and jump around on a trampoline in the backyard, whatever it is.
It's interesting, but the literature has shown that girls go through a transition, that there's natural fun and exploring and adventure during the latency period, but then as girls approach adolescence, somehow the need to become a teenager, attractive to boys, all of that sex role socialization sort of descends on them, and that also takes away their ability to understand what really replenishes them.
And that's you just brought me to a culminating point of why I wrote brought the truth to print, and the girl is 10 to 11 and a half, because I felt that it's so important to reawaken in us adults the tremendous pressure that girls go through and their own anxiety about losing the pleasure they have at some level understood and the fun. And this little girl in the truth, she gets it. She's afraid. She knows what's coming down the pike. You know, she sees the glamour magazines and she hears things and she hears the laughter of the teenage kids hysterical over stuff but no longer interested in playing. And, you know, she knows. She gets it. So you're right. Now, as monitor of the clock, I'm going to quickly tell us, everyone about the last three gateways. You actually referenced some of it, Sandy, in your examples, but let's put them together. The fifth gateway is not isolating and having groups to connect to and basically being social in appropriate ways. And parents are critical here. They're either telling a girl, you can't have this friend or you can't join this. You have to study every night. You can't do certain things. Or maybe they're ignoring the child and just indifferent so that certain social needs just go under the rug and just aren't processed in the family. Or maybe they're being extremely negative. It can take any form. But obviously, girls really need help in being permitted to have wonderful friendships and join groups that are appropriate to that girl. If she wants to be a brownie, not to have, say, next year you could be a brownie and the cutoff was the year before. Now, what good is that? You know, the moment really does matter. And this flows into the sixth gateway of having mentors and being a mentor. You have to listen very carefully to what your girl needs. Maybe she needs someone to really talk about death with. Maybe she needs that. Well, another 10-year-old, that would just be bizarre, and you would be making her extremely anxious. Maybe she really needs to spend time with grandma, even though you hate your your husband's mother. You hate her. You think she is, you know, an empty, but your girl loves to sit on the porch with her and they play cards and they look at pictures together and they're laughing hysterically, and it's the best mentor possible for your daughter, and it's not...
Barbara, I want to jump in and agree with that. That's so important because the literature on resiliency says many times the children who are resilient are the ones who can go to people other than their parents to get support.
Wow, that's really interesting. So, and a parent may be not able to judge exactly the quality of another person. Of course, again, within reason. You know, I'm always saying within reason. But we can't assume that if you married this man, probably his mother has something going. And to tie this into the last gateway, which is positive action and good deeds, and this is one thing the little girl in the truth really talks about in my new book. She just knows when you're doing the right thing and when something feels wholesome, and she knows when it feels creepy. Like she says, you know, if you're with friends that just aren't treating you right, better to be alone if you have to be. She gets it. And we have to remember that our girls do have a natural wisdom that's there. And we need to guide them toward doing good deeds and doing the right thing, but not to presume that they don't get it, you know, so that anything we layer on top of them is okay. That's not right. It's not going to work. So, you know, when your kid is 3, 4, 5, to whether you give them, you know, little pieces of paper that say, you did a great job setting the table, you know, or you put up stars on the refrigerator to show that they've done good deeds in the house or they were nice to strangers, whatever it is, yes, you help to build it, but don't forget that wisdom is also part of, I think, just the biology of being human. So we really have to work together with the native wisdom of the girl, too.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy, anything to say? Or
I'm just agreeing.
Yes.
I think everything the things that you're saying are very important.
Good, good. So in terms of what we're talked about today, we see that if we can give our girls a sense of discovery, a sense of excitement, a right to do some experimentation, where we permit ourselves to view them as having some degree of wisdom and also a capacity for fun and to play, that and we're aware of what they need to stay resilient, that if we're not good parents, they are going to weaken in the resiliency structure, I think we can do a lot for our girls that we're not doing. And
I have one more thing, Barbara,
yes,
that I can say, and that is that it occurs to me that it's the ability to allow our girls to discover their skills and their strengths, to allow them to love themselves and to enjoy and have fun, and to allow them to get pleasure from mentoring relationships with other people, it requires that the parent has those capabilities for him or herself. In other words, the parent, father or mother, needs to feel that they have strengths and competencies. The father or mother needs to feel that they have permission to play and have fun. And the father or mother has to feel secure enough that they don't feel threatened by their child's other relationships.
Since we're going to stop very soon, you're right, but I also want to leave very clearly the door open that we can improve in the ways, the messages and what we give our kids, even areas that we haven't finished working on ourselves. Although if we just, you know, do as I say, not as I do, it's flat. But there's like an in-between stage. For example, a mother realizing that she's not taking enough rest time and pleasure and fun for herself, but still she's got it and she's giving her girl more permission.
That would be
right?
Excellent.
Yeah,
yes.
So I mean, I don't want people
and
to
it's
get
hard.
Discouraged.
Yeah, that would be hard, but it's in the right direction.
Yes, and we all struggle with stuff that's hard, and we can get there at least part way. You know, I know that from my years, 25 years in the practice of psychology, and I'm sure you have many clients
yes.
who've seen that did a lot of it.
Well, one of the things I'm thinking of is that you're reading your truth, the book, The Truth, for the mom and the daughter to read it together, I think the messages can apply to both and that they can both
yes.
go through this process at the same time.
Perfect. And that's probably intuitively why I wrote it, because I really care about both the women and the girls, and I was trying to figure out a way how to give voice that, you know, women wouldn't turn off from and girls wouldn't turn off from.
And I think you did it.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. Well, thank you for being my colleague again on Happiness for Women Only. Tell everyone how to find you.
Sandra Prince Embury, PhD, Resiliency Center of Allenhurst, and my email is sandraprince-embury@earthlink.net.
thank you. And everyone can find me at enchantedself.com, get my free paper on the 7 Gateways to Happiness, come and get a copy of The Truth. I'm 10, I'm smart, and I know everything. And please stay with us in this series. Next week we will be talking about the woman 20 to 35, and I'm sure it'll be just as exciting and tempting to go through those ages too. Goodbye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for listening to Passionate Internet Voices Talk Radio. You have just listened to Dr. Barbara Becker-Holstein and Happiness for Women Only. And you can hear this all over again over at http://internetvoicesradio.com. The following programs will be appearing this afternoon from 2 to 2:30, Melanie Jones, Modified Yoga for Women. And from 3:30 to 4, Monica Coleman, Let's Talk Waterways. And from 5 to 5:30, author be known host Lillian Kohler will be interviewing Robert Walker, a mystery author. So I hope you can join us then. And during the day, we will be running live programs that have been recorded. PIVTR, whether providing you with the advice of experts or giving a voice to the average person who would not otherwise be heard. PIVTR emphasizes quality and enriching programs for our listeners' enjoyment. Thank you very much for listening today. Hope you'll join us this afternoon and for all the other weeks and days of the months and the year. And remember, we live in such a fast-paced technological world, you do not want to miss a thing. So visit back often at http://internetvoicesradio.com and keep listening.